Ephesians 4, reading verses 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, help us to hear the words of this passage, but also understand how to carry it out. Work in us that we might put away the things of this world, the old man that lives in sin. Work in us that we might put on the clothes that you have given us as new creatures in Christ. Work in us that we might see the patterns that are destructive that we tend to go to in our lives because of our sinful ways. Help us to see clearly your path before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of you probably had a Thanksgiving dinner of some sort and had family or friends gathered around the table. And now, did you have a special seat there that was open to a certain person that would come in and destroy your time together? Did you make a place for Satan to come in and sit? Satan is the deceiver. He is the diabolical one. Diabolos is the word that's used here. And what Paul says is, don't give Satan a place at the table. Don't give Satan a foothold into your life. Don't let Satan be there sitting and listening to your conversation and picking out certain things. So he's listening to this person over here, and they're saying, well, this is happening here. This person did this. And so Satan says, oh, yeah, blame them for whatever you're doing wrong. Make sure you're casting blame on someone. Maybe it's even casting blame on yourself. You know, looking at yourself and saying, oh, I can't do anything right. I'm a terrible person. It's just, I can't control my behavior. Or maybe it's casting blame on this other person over here. I'm the way I am because she did this. I'm the way I am because he did this. And so that gives me a right to do things that aren't honoring to God. Satan's sitting there. He has a place at that table. He's just picking something out here and picking something here and zoning in on that and saying, oh, this is what you have to get out of this. The deceiver is deceiving. The deceiver is making you believe the lie. The lie that our circumstances control us. The lie that we need to live in accord with the ways of the world. The lie that no matter what we do, we can't put on the righteousness that Christ has given us. That's not what God says. God has given us new life in Christ. He's given us a new identity. That's what Paul's been talking about here. These particular things are just working out the new identity that Christ has given us by redeeming us, by saving us from our sin by his grace. It's by grace we are saved through faith. It's by his grace that we're saved, but it's also by his grace that we live. We need to understand that and not be taken away by the lie. By giving Satan a place at the table and letting him pull us apart, pull us away, get us off track. The fact is that God has given us a life to live before him. He sets before us the path. Satan is there trying to pull us off that path. The idea of sin here is missing the mark. He's pulling you off the path. He's pulling you away from seeing where you need to be looking and where you need to be stepping and where you need to be living. Well, many would say, oh, Be angry. Hey, this is great. Paul tells us to be angry. Hey, that gives me an excuse every time I get angry. I can just say, okay, this is right. Be angry. Well, some people just say that in a different way. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. You ever hear that? I'm just exasperated. Lots of words that we can use to say the same thing. I'm letting circumstances control me. When Paul says, be angry, it is an imperative. Be angry, but it's in the passive. When you become angry, when you become exasperated, strong emotions will arise in you. How do you deal with those things? When you become angry, how do you deal with it? When you become frustrated, how do you deal with it? When you become exasperated, how do you deal with it? Well, most of us turn off the path and go away from where God wants us to be. Most of us miss the mark. We sin. So Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry. Recognize that the emotions that are dwelling up in you. Don't hide them. Don't say, well, that's not really where I am. No, recognize there's emotions that are coming up there. Be angry. Become angry. But in that anger, don't sin. Don't get off the path. Don't miss the mark. Make sure you're looking at how God is working in you so that you can deal with that anger, so you can deal with that frustration properly in a way that resolves the conflict and doesn't keep pushing it further down the road. Don't hide your emotions. Don't stuff anger down and let it seethe and build bitterness in you. So that perpetuates itself. So you get bitter at that person who has wronged you in some way. Don't just run from the situation either. Saying, well, that they don't matter to me. I'm going to run in a different direction. I'm going to give up on everything that I had with them and run in a different direction. That's another wrong thing. We need to deal with the emotions that we're facing. If we're frustrated, we deal with it. If we're angry, we deal with it. If we're exasperated, we deal with it in a way that brings honor to our Lord. If we live out of the lie, then we will go the way of the world. The way of the world says, hey, if your wife's not doing what you want her to do, get rid of her. Go somewhere else. There's greener pastures over here. There's better things for you over here. The way of the world says, you know, if your husband is getting angry at you, then just get angry back at him and punish him for what he's doing. The way of the world says, live according to the way the deceiver wants to pull you. God says, don't get off the path. Don't miss the mark. God says, stay on the path that God has given you and see how whatever circumstances you're in, whatever circumstances are surrounding you, how you can deal with those things by looking at how God is forming you, changing you, making you into the person that he wants you to be, making you more and more like Christ. And that's the question that you have to ask. When you feel that frustration, when you feel that exasperation, when you feel that anger welling up inside of you, how are these circumstances being used by God to make me more like Christ? If you can ask that question, then you'll stay on the path. Satan doesn't want you there. Satan wants you pulled off the path. Satan wants you going down a different road. Satan wants you to miss the mark. It's funny how people deal with the circumstances around them and when they start feeling that anger rise up inside of them or that frustration rise up inside of them. If someone tends to think of themselves as inferior to other people, They blame themselves. Man, how terrible am I? Nothing can ever go right because I'm such a bad person. Now, then there's other people who feel themselves a little superior to others. And so they're looking at these other people and say, it's their fault that I'm the way I am. It's their fault that I'm doing this thing, even though I know it's not what God wants me to do. It's their fault that I'm carrying on the way I am. Both of those reactions are built on the shame that we feel as a result of our sin, the shame that we feel as a result of seeing that we aren't worthy of God. Well, anger never covers shame, but it's often the result. It's often the way that we go. It's often our go-to emotion. Anger, though, doesn't cover the shame. Can we fix shame-filled anger without getting at the root of the problem? No. We can, you know, there's all sorts of tools to deal with anger. So I haven't watched the movie Anger Management. Anyone see that? I hear it's pretty funny, and he got tools, and it seems like the guy that's supposed to be managing anger is pretty bad, right? Is that? But anyway, there are tools that we can learn to deal with anger, but they're like putting a Band-Aid on something. It's not really getting at the problem, putting a Band-Aid over a festering sore. So you've got this infection going on, and you say, oh, okay, I've got an infection. I'll slap a Band-Aid over it so I can't see it anymore. Well, some of the tools that deal with anger just do that. You may need some of those tools to get to the point where you can see where your heart is. You may need some of those tools. So I'm not putting those things off, but the fact is that at some point you need to get to the heart. Why is that anger coming up? How can I deal with the things that I'm feeling? How can I deal with the fact that I'm casting blame on other people or casting blame on myself? How can I deal with those things? As Paul talks here, I think he goes back to what he's been talking about. Who are you? Are you still living in your sin? Then you aren't a believer. Who are you? Have you been identified with Christ? If you have been saved by the grace of Christ, if you have been saved by God's grace through faith, then you have a new identity. And Paul tells us that new identity doesn't fit with the ways of the world. We don't go off and do those other things that the world is doing. We don't go after the things that they're going after because we have a new identity in Christ. He has given us his righteousness. Do we still sin? Yeah. But we're saved by grace through faith, and that grace carries out into the way that we live. And that grace allows us to put on the things that do fit with the righteousness of Christ, to put on the things that God wants us to be and do. The lie rewrites our story. It perpetuates the shame that we feel. It never covers it or solves it. And we wound everyone around us as we live out of the lie that we're worthless, or that everyone else is to blame, or whatever that lie produces in you. But we can live out of the righteousness of Christ. We can put on the things that he's called us to. Those are the things that fit. Those are the clothes that look good on us, because they're the clothes that God gives us. I read a book recently called Bo's Cafe, and it describes anger as like a game called Whack-A-Mole. And one of the other people in church brought up Whack-A-Mole the other day and said, I never heard of Whack-A-Mole until I was teaching biology, and we had this game where if you got different parts of the body right, then you whack the mole. And so I'm not sure the real game, but that was where I came to know it. But the idea is that you've got these moles popping up and you have to go and whack them to whack them down. That's the idea of the game. You keep whacking moles. The problem is, once you whack one, another one pops up, and you have to whack that, and the game gets faster and faster, so you got these moles popping up all over the place, and you got to go whacking, 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 and that's not what anger is like. If you're not dealing with the root of the anger, it's going to pop up here, and you'll knock it down. It's going to pop up here, and you'll knock it down, but it keeps coming faster and faster and faster. More and more problems where the anger seems to be the preferred tool for dealing with the situation. In that book, he makes the statement that no mallet, whacking those moles, no mallet solves the shame that triggers the lie that releases the mole, that mole of anger. And so anger keeps popping up over and over again. If we're dealing with our anger in our own strength. But Jesus steps in. Jesus not only dies on the cross to cover our sin so that we can be made as white as snow, but he gives us his righteousness. He gives us a new identity to be lived out in him. He steps out of the shadows and takes care of that need to control our world because he is the one who is in control. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our shame upon himself. So why don't we experience the freedom from that shame? Why are we still controlled by that shame? Why does it still keep creeping into our lives so that frustration, if you want to call it that, that exasperation, that anger wells up inside of us? I think Psalm 4 does a nice job of telling us how to deal with that. Reading the whole psalm this time, we had sung part of it, but Psalm 4. Let's look at what it says about that anger and not sinning in that anger. Psalm 4. The psalmist is having trouble, getting frustrated with the things of the world. So he calls out, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." Hey, and Paul takes that and he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. What's the answer to that anger? Trust in the one who's given you new life. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the one who has changed you so you don't need to go back to the ways of the world, so you don't need to control other people by your anger. Trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your faith shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their new grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When you're trying to manipulate your world by anger, God says, don't live out of that. Turn it over to him. Trust. Then you'll be able to lie down and sleep. Try on the new clothing that God gives you as you put on that new identity, as you fit the things, if you put on the clothes that fit with that new identity. You try and fix yourself? You might. Try and fix the problems that are around you. Try and fix the problems that are in you. If you keep trying to fix yourself, you're probably going to fail. If you give yourself to the one who has died for you, if you give yourself to the one who has given you a new identity, if you give yourself to the one who has redeemed you and placed you where you can live for him, then you might see some changes. We are saved by grace through faith, and then we live by grace through faith. We need to bask in that new identity that he has given us. We need to bask in the love that he has for us. We need to recognize that we don't need to be governed by our shame, that God loves us, that God has taken us and placed us on the rock that is Jesus Christ. He loves us, and he works in us, and he wants us to glorify him by putting on that new identity that he has given us. We live out of truth, as we talked about last week, instead of out of shame. Now, Peter struggled with that. Going back to Matthew chapter 16, Peter was one, he was very volatile. Emotions rose up in Peter very quickly. And in Matthew chapter 16, the emotions rise up in him because Jesus is saying things that just don't fit with the way that he thinks they should be. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 22. I'll start in 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and then you must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Jesus is telling them the way that God is bringing them life. What's Peter's reaction? Peter, that's not the way he wanted to do it. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine taking Jesus aside and rebuking him. How often do we do that? Jesus, you're not doing it the way I want to do it. How often do we take him aside and rebuke him? Jesus, I know you're working on me, but I don't like this. Well, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." If it didn't, we'd still be stuck in our sin. If we didn't, we would not have the way to come to our God. If it didn't happen the way that Jesus was talking about, then we would be doomed to live for eternity in hell. So Jesus says, verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was believing the lie that he knew the best way. Peter was believing the lie that Satan was pulling at him about, and he was getting off the path. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind, in mind, the things of God, but the things of men." How often, when we get angry, we have in mind the things of men rather than the things of God? How often are we thinking about ourselves, our own selfish desires? We have in mind the things of men rather than the things of God. When that happens to you, then use these words of Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan." Satan is pulling you off the path. He's taking you away from the mark. You're going to miss the mark. You're taking your eyes off our Lord Jesus Christ and refusing to see what he's doing in you. Well, that was Peter. We were sitting around Anna's house the other day, and someone was talking about people being cranky and then referring, well, when was I cranky? They used a different word, and I can't remember the word, but it is same idea, being cranky. So now I'm not usually cranky. And Claire is sitting there and says, "Oh, I've seen it." Well, I tend to compartmentalize my life. So here I'm dealing with someone at school. That's different from dealing with someone at church. So I've got this little compartment that says, okay, I can be upset with the kids in the school that aren't doing their homework. And then Laura called me on that. And she said, oh, yeah, I've seen you. You know, when one of the girls in her class didn't do her homework and you were upset with her. And you know, it sort of surprised me that, you know, you could look so angry and then you turned around and just talked nicely to the rest of us. Well, how often do we use anger to control? How often do we use that to control the situation? We need to really be cautious of that. We need to make sure that we're not allowing anger to control us or the situation. We can't use anger to control our world. We need to look at how God is using the circumstances that are around us to make us more like Him. How God is working those circumstances out so that we are refined, so that we get put sometimes in the refiner's fire and we feel the heat. But it's there to help us drive out the dross, to help us drive out the things that don't belong, to help us drive out the things that are part of the old life, so we can put on the things that are part of the life that Christ has given us. Put on the clothes that He has given us to wear, as He has not only died for us, but He has given us His righteousness, and we can live that righteousness out if we have our eyes fixed on Him, if we have our mind fixed on the things that He is doing in us and the circumstances that are surrounding us, all working together so that we can be more like our God. When you see anger welling up inside of you, when you see frustration start to overtake you, when you see yourself starting to cast blame, well, they're doing this, so that gives me an excuse to do whatever. You see those things. Turn it around. Don't follow the deceiver. Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't give Satan a place at the table so he can just sort of work on that and keep pushing on that spot and then pull you off the track that God has for you. Well, sometimes we'll get angry, we'll get frustrated, we'll do something, and we know it's wrong. So we go and we apologize. Say, I'm sorry. But then we go back and we do it all over again. We fix the problem. Sometimes when we see that anger and when we see it happening again and again, there's something deeper that we need to fix. We need to recognize that we're using anger to control the world around us. We need to recognize that we're taking things into our own hands and not trusting in the God of the universe. If I'm using anger to control my world, that's my version of normal. So I get upset, and there seems to be some response to that that fits in with what I want. And so I keep using anger to control my world, and it becomes my normal. Well, if you're that way, your version of normal may be putting your relationships in shambles. Your version of normal needs to be that version that allows you to have the relationships that God has given you and honor Him in those relationships. Now, anger often seems to work. And so when we get angry, we say, well, I wouldn't be that anger wouldn't be there if everyone else didn't mess up. If they weren't doing this, if they weren't doing that. No. We need to see that whatever is happening to us is happening so that God can work on us, so that God can change us, so that God can make us more like Himself. He's building His identity in us, and we take whatever circumstances are out there to work on that new identity that He has given to us. Now, we aren't going to be able to get ourselves out of those terrible patterns, those patterns that break down relationships. We aren't going to be able to do it, no matter how hard we try, because if we're looking at ourselves, then we're going to be looking in the wrong place. It's not just a matter of saying I'm sorry every time I blow up. It's not just a matter of saying that I repent. It's a matter of releasing that control that I think I have over my life by using that anger. I need to release the control and give it over to God. Psalm 4 says, I need to trust in Him. God has the answer. He has said that He has changed you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, not only are you saved by grace through faith, but you can live by grace through faith. May God endure you in that. May He give you the patience to persevere through the circumstances of this life. And look up, look at the world with a different lens. Now, if I take my glasses off, Mike, even as big as you are, you're a blur to me right now. And if I'm looking through the world's eyes, then most of my relationships are just a blur, and I have no idea how I can make them better. I need to look through a different lens. I need to be able to see the way God sees those relationships. I need to make sure that I'm looking through His lens. Don't let blame intrude. Whether it's blaming yourself or blaming another person, don't let blame intrude. Catch it, cast it on God, give it over to Him, and trust in what He is doing in your life. Don't use anger as a weapon of choice to get your way, to control. Don't use anger to control the people around you. Face the shame that produces that anger. Face the difficulties that you've had in this life by turning things over to the God who has redeemed you, by turning things over to the God who has changed you, by turning things over to the God who has given you a new identity. If I'm using anger to control the people around me, and I'm letting my shame control me. But Christ has taken that shame. He has suffered. He has died on the cross that we might have that way out of the shame that is caused by the sin of this world and caused by our own sin. And we can live in a different way. We can replace that shame with trust in the one who has saved us, in the one who has redeemed us, in the one who has paid the price for our sin and has given us a new life, a new identity in Him. We replace the shame with trust, and then anger isn't controlling us, and we aren't using anger to control the world around us. We're looking at what God has for us and the way He's using those circumstances to make us better, to make us more like Himself. Going back to Psalm 4. When you cry out to God, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Do you want God to answer you? Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? Look at me. Look at all the things I'm doing. Look at the way that I'm working toward the things that God wants me to be. Look at this. Look at me. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. In your frustration and the things that are happening in life, do not sin. What do you do with it? If we're not going to sin, if we're not going to let it get off the track, then what do we do with it? When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Ooh, that's different. When we get angry, aren't we supposed to yell and scream and holler and badger other people? Oh, wait a minute. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices. Romans 12 says the sacrifice is our life to him. And trust in the Lord. On your bed in silence. Search your hearts in silence. And trust in the Lord. See what God is doing through those circumstances that are welling up that anger inside of you. See what God is doing in making you more like himself. See what God is doing in making you into a better person. See what God is doing in using those circumstances to refine you. Don't be destroyed by the refiner's fire. Be made pure by it. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. You know, as we turn our lives over to our Lord, there's joy. There's peace. There's rest when we turn our lives over to the one who has given himself for us. If we're looking to our Lord, he will give us joy. He will give us peace. He will give us rest. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Back to Ephesians. Can you do this? Can you live out of that new identity that God has given you? That's what Paul's been talking about in Ephesians 4. He has given us a new identity. He has given us a new life. Put on the clothes that he has given us. Instead of reacting to the circumstances around us by welling up in anger and trying to control those circumstances, in your anger, do not be put off the mark. Don't get off the path. When you become angry, okay, again, this is passive. When you become angry, you're looking at the circumstances around you and you become angry. The emotions start to rise in you. The anger starts to rise up. When you become angry, don't get off the path. Don't miss the mark. Don't sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Instead, in your heart, search your heart and be silent, Psalm 4 says. Search your heart and be silent. And then God will take away that anger and he'll give you peace. You're trusting in him. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a place at the table. Don't let the deceiver pull you away from the relationships that God has given you to strengthen you, to help you, to make you so you can honor his name and make you more like himself. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. One other thing that I missed. Okay, when it says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, it doesn't mean that we've necessarily resolved the conflict with the person that we are angry at. It doesn't mean that we've changed the circumstance so everything's hunky-dory, everything's better. It doesn't mean that everything is resolved, but it means that we've dealt with the anger that's inside of us and looked at the situation in a different light, looked in a situation where we're putting our trust in our God and knowing that He is working everything together for good for those who love Him, knowing that He is at work, and we're seeing how He is taking those circumstances and refining us, taking those circumstances and working on us so that we can put on that new identity that He's given us, so we can put on that righteousness that He has given us. We seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then we'll see how He's working throughout those circumstances to make us more like Himself, to make us so that we have those relationships that are honoring to Him. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Let's pray. Well, Lord, as we come before You, help us to truly deal with the emotions that we have, to truly see how You are at work, to know that You are our God, we can trust in You. Lord, thank You for taking our shame, for suffering and dying for us, so that we do not need to be controlled by that shame and well up in anger at the people that are around us, but we can know that You are at work in our lives. And You are making us better people. You are making us more like Yourself. Forgive us when we lose sight of that, for the times that we sin, go off the path. Help us to look to You in all circumstances and see where You're taking us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, turn with me now to Psalm 37, Selection A.